appreciate the music ministry today, and I appreciate the things that were shared. What Sydney said, we all agree with. God has done this great thing. And what Sam said, we all agree with, that we are thankful for people who were willing to serve as God led them. And what Jim said, we agree with as well. God's an awesome God. I would like to just share with you a few thoughts this morning regarding this dedication. As we were preparing for this event, Autumn Howell said to me something like, I think we should do a Noah's Ark kind of dedication, because this reminds me of Noah's Ark. And what Noah had in mind, Autumn. What Autumn had in mind was, she said, why don't we take, like, is our property big enough? Could we put in stakes and with little flags on them and mark out? Because I've always wondered, what are the sizes of that ark? How big is it? What are the dimensions of it? That would be cool. Let's put those in. And maybe we could decorate with animals, and that would be kind of nice, do the whole Noah's Ark decoration theme. And if you know Autumn, she probably wanted to bring two of every animal into the church as well. She's an animal lover, except for cats, right, Autumn? It would have to be all the cats. We're bringing all the cats in. So I thought about that, and I'm not a cat person, but that whole Noah's Ark thing kind of made sense as Autumn was sharing it with me. And so I just want to share with you three quick parallels between us and Noah and our project and his. And the first parallel is that, like Noah, we were led down this path to accomplish this purpose. It's not like we were looking for something to do. In fact, if you can remember early on, I said, man, I don't want to do a building program. Those are hard on pastors. Now, guess what? They're hard on churches. They're hard on people. They're hard on everybody. And so nobody was thinking, like, let's do something that's really hard on us. That'll be fun. Let's do something that's really tough. I don't have any way to spend my evenings. Maybe that would be fun to go build a church or a ministry wing. Let's do that. It wasn't our idea. It was something that all of us felt God leading us to do. We felt like this is what he wanted to do. And that's the way it was with Noah. You know, and it wasn't Noah's idea to build the ark. The scripture that you heard this morning, read by Corey, says in verse 13, it says, God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make for yourself an ark of cypress wood, and make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Now, it's not that God spoke to me out loud. In fact, I never heard anyone say, I heard God's voice say, hey, you guys, build a ministry wing. That's not what happened. Not at all. And nor did he say, build the ministry wing because I'm about to put an end to all the people. That's not what happened either. But instead, as God's Spirit moved in us as individuals and among us as a body of believers, we saw the problems people right here in our community deal with every day. And we believe, by his Spirit leading us, that really there is no solution for a lot of these problems except the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is really the only solution to all of man's problems, to any of man's problems, is Jesus. And so we sense God leading us to build this facility so Jesus could be proclaimed as the answer to humankind's problems. Like Noah, it wasn't our idea. Noah didn't think this up, nor did we. And that kind of leads me to the second parallel. The second parallel is this task, like Noah's task, was huge. Now, Noah's task was bigger than ours. There's no question about that. But this was a huge task. I can't begin to tell you how many people inside the church and outside of the church said, Pastor Steve, this just looks like this is too big a job for us to accomplish. And I feel like I was so young way back when, it's only like 2 or 3 years ago, when I said something like, our engineer says that we can't do this. Who wants to do what we can do? Let's do something impossible. Do you remember me saying that? I feel like I must have been about 15 years old when I said that, you know? But it's true. It was a huge task to undertake. And I'm sure that Noah heard the kind of things, I'm sure that people said things to Noah like, what in the world are you doing, Noah? I heard the other day that you're going to get all the animals and put them in that thing. What, are you out of your mind? You can't begin to accomplish this. You're one man with a bunch of kids. Not even a bunch. It was just a few kids. What's wrong with your head? And we heard the same lines. Didn't you hear them? What are you guys doing out there? How are you going to accomplish that? You're just one small congregation. What's wrong with your heads? Well, what was wrong with our heads? Well, we felt God was leading us. Well, how did it happen then? How did we manage that? The same way that Noah managed it, with two real simple ingredients. They weren't simple, but they're simple to say. Faith and obedience. Faith, trusting that if God asks us to do something, He will give us the power to accomplish it, and obedience to follow it through. You do understand that, right? If God instructs you to do something, you can trust Him that He'll empower you to do it. Even if you're a 600-year-old man named Noah, you can trust Him that He's going to give you the ability to accomplish it. You have to trust Him and obey Him. I have to be honest with you. I had a lot of trouble with the whole trust thing. Personally, I had trouble with the whole faith thing. Like, God, are you sure that we can do this? Are you sure? I think many of us did. I don't think there's anyone here that would say, man, I never doubted. I absolutely was positive. I think all of us at times said, whew, what have we gotten ourselves into? And God, are you there? Are you helping us? Are you sure? Something I have found over and over again in my Christian walk is that God is so gracious that He works sometimes not because of our great faith, but in spite of our small faith. And all He's looking for is a mustard seed. Just a mustard seed to trust Him. So, in obedience, as Noah trusted God with his task, we trusted and obeyed Him as best we could. And that takes me to the third parallel. That trust and obedience is something that needs to be ongoing. Noah's task was an ongoing task. Well, let's think about Noah building that ark for a minute. Let me just read one verse that Corey read earlier. It's verse 15 of chapter 6. It says, this is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Okay, let's do some math. The last time I did math on our ministry wing, just the ministry wing, not the church existing structure, but the new structure over there, the last time I did the math on that was 17,000 square feet, give or take a couple inches. You know, 17,000 square feet. One floor of Noah's ark was twice the size of that. And how many floors did he put in it? I mean, did he put big floors for the giraffes and little floors for the chickens? I don't know. But I've been thinking, if I had been working on something that huge and putting it together, just me and my boys, when it was done, I think what I would want to do is just crawl into some back room in it and just lay down and go to sleep. Whew! Finally got that crazy ark done. Send the rain. I am ready for the rain because I think I could sleep for 40 days and 40 nights. You know? But Noah had more to do. His task was an ongoing task, including gathering the animals. Now, that's not our task. We're not gathering animals. And we're not even about bringing people into our building to look at how cool it is. We are really about leading others to know God. Because our purpose, our mission, is to know God and make Him known. So that's what Jesus' mission was, to seek and to save what was lost and to bring people into a saving relationship with God. That's our task. We're not bringing them into the ark. We're bringing them into the kingdom. It involves the Great Commission, where Jesus is speaking to His disciples and He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, just as Noah was called to save the animals from God's wrath, you and I are called to lead people to Christ, to save them from God's wrath. And when we dedicate this ministry wing, we are dedicating ourselves to reaching lost people for Christ. But Noah's task included more than bringing them in. He had to care for them once they were inside there. Anyone know how long Noah was in that ark with those animals? About a year. You're saying, wait, it was 40 days and 40 nights. It takes a long time for that rain, that water to subside. Look it up. About a year he was in there. Who took care of those animals during that time? That had to be Noah. Noah and his family. That's the way it is with us, though, you know. We're called to do the same kind of thing. The Great Commission says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The next verse says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's disciple making. That's what Cheryl Grossamy's ministry is all about. She is the director of disciple making ministries for about 150 churches in western Pennsylvania, because she knows that once the animals are in the ark, someone needs to help them grow. Well, we don't want animals in an ark to grow. But you got to keep them alive, huh? You got to keep them healthy. You've got to make them healthy sometimes when they need to be made healthy. See, when someone places their faith in Christ, they're saved. But the task of discipleship isn't over then. In a sense, it's just beginning. And we're called to teach people what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. That's part of our purpose of making God known. A lot of parallels between us and Noah. Good idea, Autumn. Good idea, but we're not bringing all the cats into the building, okay? In a few moments, we're going to dedicate this building to God. And here's what we're doing. We're not just saying, okay, God, here's your building. We did it. It's done. So long, and thanks for all the fish, you know? That's not what we're saying. What we're actually doing is, and I want to spell this out for you because we're going to do it together. We're saying, God, we don't take credit for this. You get all the glory. We recognize that you have done this. Without you, it would never have happened. And number two, as we are dedicating this building to God, we are saying that we relinquish any division and we unite our hearts together as one person saying to you, God, this is yours. We lift up this building and give it to you as one group of people united in heart and spirit saying, this is yours, God. The third thing that you're doing is you are delivering this building up to God, understanding your responsibility to be a caretaker of it. I've never heard this expression in either of the churches I have pastored, but I have heard many other pastors say, you know, the people who give me the most trouble in my church and prevent it from growing by their stubbornness are the same people who say, young man, I pounded the nails in this church. You understand by number three, what we are going to be saying is we are going to be saying, I do not own this church, God. You do. You do. I see myself as a caretaker of what belongs to you, and however you lead my generation, the next generation, or the ones that follow to use it, to God be the glory. It belongs to you. And the fourth thing that you are saying when you dedicate this building is you are saying, God, it's more than just the building. We dedicate ourselves anew and afresh to using this facility for your purpose, for the purpose of Christ, to seek and to save, to disciple, that Christ would be glorified and humankind would be benefited. One more little tiny note that I must share with you before Reverend Grossamy and his wife come. It's not in my notes, but I got to share it with you, okay? It took us a long time to build this structure. It took a long time to even get started. I remember people saying to me, are we ever going to break ground, you know? And yet, you heard someone say today, I can't remember if it was Jim, I think it was, say it was in God's timing. The same thing will happen as we use this structure. There will be feelings like, are we ever going to use this? Are we ever going to do that? Let me say to you that that will be, we must follow the same leader with a capital L who we followed to build this building as we use this building. For us to jump into using this building full throttle to its fullest potential may be damaging and certainly will be exhausting to some of us who kind of just need to sit back and breathe for a minute. That is not all bad to sit back and breathe for a minute, okay? I share this with you because I talked to an elder in another church, a layman, just yesterday. I sent him the clipping from the Progress. I love the Progress. They cover things so well. Put that in the article in the Progress that I said I love them. I sent him a clipping. And in that clipping, it had all the information about our building. And he wrote back to me and he said, "Steve, it's time for your people to relax before they go to the next level." I think he's right. I think he's right. Sometimes I even wonder if God maybe made all those animals hibernate for that year. I don't know. But I'll bet Noah could have used a year's sabbatical, don't you think? Just Mr. and Mrs. Noah sitting in there surfing the internet, or surfing the waves, I guess. All right? So don't be discouraged if you feel like we're not using it the way you thought we would. Follow the same leader with a capital L who led us to build it, and trust him that his purpose will be accomplished. That was extra. It was not in my sermon. There's no extra charge for it. We are going together to dedicate this building to the Lord at this time. Cheryl, Mark, would you please come? And I have given them opportunity to speak if they would like to as well. What do you have, about an hour long sermon for us, Reverend Gross? Each, an hour apiece. Okay, good. I'm going to go down here because I want to be part of the body as we do this dedication.
Wish I would have better prepared for this morning. Steve has tried to embarrass me on a number of occasions, and I didn't think about what I might have done this morning, so we'll just be nice.
Amen.
On behalf of our district leadership team, our superintendent, Reverend Jeffrey Norris, Reverend Phil Harrison, our assistant, Joe Toomey, our church planning director, Cheryl in disciple making, and myself, we want to congratulate you. We want to celebrate with you. We want to thank God with you, and we want to anticipate with you what God will do through your ministry in the days and years ahead. It's kind of a fun thing for me to come to. I didn't have to do any of the work. Just kind of come here and enjoy it with you and go home and watch you continue on, see what you're doing. We want to commend you for allowing God to work through you. God does his part, but he needs cooperating people to carry out what he wants carried out. And you are those people, and we rejoice with you in what has been accomplished. And as I said, we look forward to what God will continue to do through you in the days ahead. A time for a rest, but the building is not an end in itself, as you well know. Let me ask you to find your folders here, cream-colored folder there in your bulletin, and stand with me.
These words will also be on the screen, Mark. They'll also be on the screen.
That's fine. And, you know, we do things on occasions like these, but let's not just think, well, we do this because it's dedication, but think about what you're vowing, what you're saying to the Lord. You know, somebody who's here could hold you accountable for what you said, and God is hearing what you say to him. Do you, Kerwinsville Alliance Church, recognize that the vision, design, construction, and existence of this ministry wing have been the Lord's doing? Do you recognize that it is he who has accomplished this great thing?
We acknowledge that God has done this great thing, and as an act of worship and devotion, we dedicate this building to the glory and honor of God.
Because Christ's body is not one part, but many, dedication is a cooperative decision. It is important that this dedication be a unified choice, that there not be division in the body. Do you, Kerwinsville Alliance Church, hereby relinquish any division and unite your hearts together to love one another as you make this dedication to God?
We dedicate this facility that we, fellowshipping in Christ, might in spiritual and tangible ways love one another, bear each other's burdens, accept one another's weaknesses, and rejoice in one another.
Dedicating something to God means giving it to God. At this moment, you are dedicating this ministry wing to God. Do you, the people of Kerwinsville Alliance, pledge yourself to stewardship of this facility, leaving ownership with God?
Understanding that this building belongs to God and God alone, we pledge ourselves to care for it in a manner that is pleasing to Him, using it at His direction as we understand His leading for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ.
Dedication carries with it a purpose, a response to a directive. Do you recognize and accept the purpose of Jesus to seek and to save that which was lost as the primary purpose God has in the use of this facility?
We receive the Great Commission to make disciples as our own, and we dedicate this facility to that end. We dedicate ourselves to being not just hearers, but doers of the word by Christ's presence in our lives.
Let's remain standing as John Peters leads us in a dedication prayer. John?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. What a great day it is. A great day of seeing how much you love us and the people of this world. That you would be with us through this building program and guide and direct us. And thank you for the privilege of being a part of your plan of salvation, that through this facility that people might come to know you, and that the day might come when we'll all sit around that table and enjoy the fellowship of your presence. We would pray, as we've made these vows of dedication, that we would remember the seriousness of them, that this isn't just words, but it's a commitment to you, that we would continue to uphold this church in all of its needs. We pray that you would bring cleansing to this church if there's anything here that would hinder your spirit from working freely. And we pray that the love that exists between the Son and the Father would exist in our hearts towards one another, and that this church might be known in this community and in surrounding area as a church of love, a love that's made possible through your death on the cross. We thank you again for this time. Continue to guide and direct us in all that we do. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want you to turn to people and say, praise the Lord, just quietly, and shake their hands as the musicians come to the platform. Just turn to someone and say, thank God, that was great. Praise God, wasn't that neat? Okay?